Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing? I am back after my holiday, which was amazing, and I am sad to be back in the UK. I am not going to lie, Gran Canaria was amazing, and coming back off holiday really got me thinking about the kind of 50-50 of life, the positive and the negative, because we all want the positive all of the time. We all want positive emotion all of the time. Even though we know we have to have the negative, let's all be honest, when the negative comes, we don't want it. We want the positive. We want it to be Christmas Day every single day, or we want to be on holiday every week and have the weekend 7 days of the week. But I was thinking about how the reasons these occasions are so great is because they aren't all of the time. If you think about it, if you are on holiday every single day, holiday would no longer be a holiday. It would no longer be exciting. It would no longer be fun. It would be the normal day. Your brain wouldn't get the same positive emotions and kick from it. We have to have sadness to appreciate happiness. We have to have Mondays to appreciate Friday afternoons. So we have to have coming home and having the normal routine to appreciate going on holiday. Anyway, that's what I was thinking about as I settled back into my normal routine after spending a week sunbathing and napping by the sea. But anyway, let's dive into today's episode, which is all about want matches. So what do I mean when I say want match? My teacher, Brooke Castillo, taught me this concept, and it's the idea that in relationships, when two people have the same want, it's a match. So maybe I have a want for a friend who enjoys talking about reality TV shows, and then I have a friend who loves watching those shows and talking about them. So that's a match. We both want the same thing. Maybe I have a want for a partner who enjoys doing outdoor activities with me and going on long walks. And then so does my partner. So there we have it, a match. It could even be things like wanting a partner who wants to spend time with your family, or who wants to be monogamous, or who wants to cuddle or have sex a certain amount, or someone who's willing to travel with you or who wants children. We all have wants and preferences, and some of those wants and preferences will match other people's, which is beautiful. That's a beautiful thing when that happens. And then we get to share and enjoy these wants together. And we have different relationships that match different wants that we have. For example, I have a friend who loves coming to watch shows with me, as in musicals. And so that's a want match. We both want to do that together. Whereas another friend of mine would never, ever want to come to a musical with me. It's totally not her thing. But she would definitely be interested in coming and watching a horror film with me. We share that want match there because I also like horror films. Now, where people go wrong is they have a want that doesn't match the other person's. As in, it isn't something they really want to do, or it's not something that comes easily to them or naturally for them to do. And then they get mad at this person and resent them for not doing the thing. A really common example of this is texting. One person wants to text a lot, maybe continuously throughout the day, and the other person doesn't. I see that a lot with one-on-one clients of mine and clients in my group coaching program, actually. Whatever the mismatched one is, one person maybe then ends up telling the other person that they're not meeting their needs and they need to change and be someone else and do something else in order to accommodate them. So you need to change and text me more so that I can feel better. You need to learn to want to text more often because that's my preference. That's what I want. Which is kind of crazy when you think about it. The whole reason we want to be in relationships is because we want to feel connected and have genuine, authentic connections with people. Yet we're actively telling them and ourselves that they should be different to who they really are in order to serve us. Kind of makes no sense when you think about it. And I was coaching one of my one-on-one clients this week about this, and we were talking about sex, and she said that she wanted her partner to initiate sex more often so that she could feel more connected. But in reality, believing that someone should be different to who they are is what actually creates the most disconnection, because we're disconnected from the reality of who they are, of them. We're not loving and accepting them for who they are because we're believing they should be different. And what's also worth remembering with the idea of want matches is that one person is never going to meet all of our relationship wants. We often think our romantic partner should be and do everything. We often want them to be interested in all our hobbies and interested in our job and spend hours talking to us about our work and come to the shows that we want to watch and be romantic and spoil us and also have amazing sex with us and text us whenever we're having a meltdown. We have all these wants and expectations, and then we make it mean something terrible if they aren't able to meet or do all of these things. And it's a lot of pressure to put on them and on us, because when we expect one person to be our everything, we naturally feel very frustrated when they don't live up to that, and then we feel disconnected from them. When actually we have so many other relationships to fulfill our wants into. So if you enjoy texting throughout the day and your partner doesn't, maybe you have a friend who also enjoys texting that you can text throughout the day instead. If you're putting a lot of pressure on your partner to come and watch your favourite singer with you and they aren't showing any interest, they don't want to, maybe there's someone else who actually does want to come and see them with you. Our romantic partner isn't supposed to meet all of our wants and desires. It's not possible. And throughout this podcast, we're going to look at how you can determine the most important wants that you have and what to do if there's a mismatch of key wants in your relationship. So the first thing I want you to do is get really clear on the things you want out of your relationships. This could be your friendships or your romantic relationship or both. Just really brainstorm what are the things you'd love to share and experience with another human. That could be activities you want to do, or certain conversations you want to be able to have, or support you want to receive, interest you want to share with the other person. And some of you might find this difficult. You may have never even stopped to consider what you really want from your relationships, or you may have based a lot of what you want on what you think you're supposed to want, what you're told you should want by society. So give yourself some space to do this. And imagine you're just designing your dream relationships. What are the things you would love to experience within them? Make a list. And you can really let your brain run wild with this exercise. Really get curious and imaginative with it. Like I said before, it could be things from where you want to live, whether you want marriage and kids or not, whether you want to be with a smoker or a non-smoker, someone who's open to double dating with your friends, maybe that's something you want. Someone who's willing to sit and talk about their emotions with you, or maybe someone you want to have deep conversations with. Write it all down. And then when we know what our wants are in our relationships, we can then start to consider where these wants are already being met and who they're being met by. Again, they won't all be met by your romantic partner. They might be met by some friends of yours, a coworker. And we can consider perhaps where we aren't having wants met, where there's wants that we have that aren't currently being fulfilled, and whether we want to find people to fulfill those with us, maybe go and meet people that share that interest, that want. And we also want to understand why it is we want those things in the first place. And especially when it comes to our romantic relationships, we really want to be looking at and understanding what the things are that we have decided we want from a romantic partner, and making sure we love our reasons for those things, as well as evaluating how important each of these things are to us, which are maybe deal breakers and which aren't so important. So for example, if you'd have asked me a few years ago what my key wants were, I would have said, I want someone who texts me back within the hour. And my reason for that was because I believed that I couldn't feel secure without someone texting me regularly. Because my brain made someone not texting me back within the hour mean that they didn't like me, which created insecurity and anxiety. So that was my reason for that want. I wanted that to manage my emotions for me and make me feel secure. Which on reflection is not a reason I really love. because it's totally driven by fear and insecurity and making something outside of me responsible for my emotions. So once I actually learned to take responsibility for my emotions and manage my anxious mind and create feelings of security within myself, regardless of when I was getting a text back, I realized that the texts themselves were actually not a big deal. It didn't actually matter whether they text me back within the hour. If I'm not basing my security on when they text me back, them texting me back within that certain time frame was just no longer a deal breaker. I wouldn't end a relationship just because the person didn't enjoy texting. That wouldn't be something that was that important to me. So ask yourself, why do I want those things? What do you believe having that thing will make you feel? Because remember, the reason we want anything in life is because of the way we think it will make us feel, or the way it will stop us from having to feel, the negative emotion it will help us to avoid. Think about when we want to get a new car. It's because we're imagining how we'll feel behind the driving wheel. Or when we want to buy a new house, we imagine how good it will feel to own a house. If we want to buy a pet, we imagine having the pet and feeling so much love and care for it. And we want that feeling. So really think about what is the feeling I'm wanting, the feeling I'm wanting to have behind this want. And also, what negative emotion do you believe you'd have to feel without it? Maybe you want a partner who initiates sex once a week. Ask yourself why. Why do I specifically want that? What is it that I imagine I'll get to feel if I have that as my circumstance? Is it because I just enjoy sex? Or is it because without that, I'd feel very insecure and anxious about the relationship and doubt that I'm attractive? You can see how there's two very different motives there, which you can then explore. Because wanting something because you're basing your emotions and your feelings of security and happiness and confidence on getting it is likely to land you in trouble, because you'll always feel very dependent on that external thing and getting that external thing to feel okay. Versus not feeling emotionally dependent on it, knowing that your emotions aren't created by that thing and are created by your own brain, but just wanting it because it's something you like to enjoy within the relationship. You can see those are very different things. An example I'll give from my own life is I'm not a drinker. I quit drinking 3 years ago. So if I was ever single again, I wouldn't want to date someone who drank heavily. My fiance luckily doesn't drink, so that's great. But if I were ever single again, I would purposefully choose someone who wasn't into going on big nights out and getting really drunk. And when I think about my reasons for that, they are reasons that I like and that I feel aligned with. I value being really present and making the most of time. So not spending days hungover in bed and being really present in a conversation and not having emotions numbed by alcohol. So my preference is a partner who also enjoys those things and can share those things with me. So some people would have the opposite want. They might have a want and a desire for someone that enjoys drinking and going to clubs with them and having big nights out. So it's totally unique and personal to you. And you get to decide what those things are that you're looking for. So take some time to really consider, you know, what are the things I want and what are the reasons for me wanting them? Are they fueled by desire and abundance? Do they feel good and aligned with who I want to be? Or is this similar to my texting example where these wants are actually filled by fear and insecurity and scarcity mindset? And am I making something outside of me responsible for how I get to feel? Does this reason not feel very good to you? For example, maybe you want a partner who is more physically affectionate than the one you currently have. Maybe that's something you're constantly nagging at your partner to do more. You want them to be more physically affectionate with you. You want to understand why that is. What do you make it mean when they're the level of affectionate that they currently are? And what do you think you'd get to believe and feel if they were more affectionate? How much physical affection has your brain decided that you need in order to feel that emotion that you're imagining you get to feel if they changed? And the reason exploring this is so important is because we want to make sure we're taking responsibility for our emotions and managing our own minds and not making something outside of us responsible for how we feel. So if you believe I need a partner who gives me a kiss every time I walk through the door in order to believe that they love me and feel secure, that's a very strict manual that you've written for them and that you're going to need them to follow. And as we know, having manuals, if you've not already listened to my episode on manuals, go back and visit that. But having manuals for the people in our lives always just ends up in us feeling disappointed and frustrated. Because people are never good at following our manuals. They can never follow them 100% of the time. So get really curious with yourself here. Is this me having a manual for the person I'm in a relationship with? Am I making them responsible for how I feel? Or do I know I can feel loved and secure regardless of this thing? And I just decided that this is something I want because I want to enjoy it. So rather than needing your partner to give you a kiss every time you walk through the door in order to feel loved and secure, versus when we know we can feel the emotion we want to feel, maybe it's loved and secure regardless of what they're doing, and we decide that physical affection is just something we'd love to enjoy as part of the relationship. In one situation, we're dependent on something to feel good. In the other, we know we can feel good either way and we just want to enjoy it and share this mutual desire with the other person. And with the latter here, you can probably tell this would involve a lot more flexibility. If you're not dependent on this thing for your emotional wellness, for you to feel okay and good, if your partner sometimes isn't able to do it or doesn't want to do it or doesn't have the exact same drive of desire to do it as you do, it may not be such a big deal. You'd be so much more flexible about it versus when you think that thing is so important to create the emotion you want, you probably don't have very much flexibility on it and you probably have a very strict amount that you want that thing or very strict rules for how you want that thing to be delivered to you. So whatever the emotion is that you think that this thing will create for you, whether it's love, security, happiness, connection, I want you to challenge yourself to consider what thoughts are actually creating the emotions. What thoughts you're thinking in these moments that are creating the emotion. Does your brain maybe make them not being as affectionate as you'd like mean that they don't care about you and then you feel sad? And are you believing that you can only feel loved by them if they give you a certain amount of affection? If they cuddle you every time they sit next to you, or if they give you a kiss every time they walk through the door, if they show you a certain amount of affection. You get curious, what is the amount I've decided I need in order to believe and feel that way? And then you want to challenge that. Is that really true? Can you only believe that you are loved by them if they follow this manual you have for them? Or is there actually a lot of evidence that they do love you, that they do care about you, that your brain is totally ignoring? So consider how you could create these emotions that you want to feel, loved, secure, happy, with the level of affection, I'm just using this as the example, it could be whatever your want is, with the level of affection that you're receiving from your partner right now. Can you believe that they love you and care about you with the amount of affection they're currently giving you? I coached a client on something similar where he said that he wanted more physical affection from his partner. And the reason her current level of affection made him feel so terrible was because he made it mean that she didn't care about him. But when we really questioned that and poked holes in his thinking there, he instantly said that he didn't believe that was true, that he totally knew that she cared about him. So you can see here how we tell ourselves we want and need this thing from this person because we believe it'll make us feel better. It will stop us feeling so terrible. But in reality, the thing making us feel so terrible in the first place is our own brains and the meaning we've attached to that thing. So doing the work on questioning and getting curious about this is so, so important. This is how you're going to really be able to decipher what is a genuine want for you and where maybe you have some thought work to do on managing your own interpretations and the meanings you attach to things. And when I was coaching my client on this, I asked him, if you were firm in your belief that she cared and loved you and you weren't making it mean that she didn't, and you just totally believed that she did, would the amount she initiated cuddles still be such a big deal? And his answer was no. So it was similar to me with the texting. It wasn't the text that I even wanted. It was that I wanted the feeling of security and I was just making the text responsible for that. For him, it was his brain constantly was looking for evidence that she didn't care about him. That was something we'd always been coaching on. And so his brain had attached that meaning to the amount of affection she showed him. So if that meaning wasn't there, if he wasn't interpreting it in that way, he would have been totally fine with the level of affection he was receiving. So exploring how you can create the emotion that you want to feel with or without this thing is really important. If you want regular sex so that you can feel attractive, ask yourself, how can I feel more attractive with the amount of sex I'm already having? The amount of sex just as it is. What would I need to believe about myself to create that experience? Or if you want your partner to make more effort with your friends so that you can feel like they're invested in the relationship, consider, in what ways can I already believe that they're invested? What ways do they already show me that? That my brain is currently ignoring because it's committed to believing that they're not. Doing this might show you that it isn't the thing itself. Like I said, it isn't the thing itself that's a big deal, but it's actually the internal meaning you've attached to it. Just like me with the texting example, in which case you can work on challenging that meaning and maybe building new ways of thinking about it. For example, it's possible my partner could not be into double dating and still be invested in our relationship. Or I'm open to believing my attractiveness has absolutely nothing to do with how often my partner initiates sex. On the other hand, you may also discover that while you can feel secure and happy and whatever the emotion is without that thing, you just still really want it as part of your experience in that particular relationship. There may be some things that you want in a relationship that your partner just doesn't. And before anybody panics, that is totally okay. Just because someone doesn't have a certain want that matches yours doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is doomed. It doesn't mean you have to end the relationship. But the most important thing you need to do is accept this difference. Rather than trying to fight against it and convince them to want something that they just don't want. And I want you all to think about a time where someone has wanted something from you or of you that just hasn't felt very natural or good to you. Maybe they've wanted to meet up with you more regularly, or they've wanted you to call them more, or they've wanted you to come to their child's birthday and you've just not wanted to go. Think about how when someone else is trying to make you want something that you don't want, how awful that feels for you. You don't feel connected with them. You don't feel good. You likely feel resentful and obligated. So really consider for a moment that if your partner or friend really isn't interested in this thing, it doesn't come naturally to them, do you really want them to do it anyway? Do you really want to force them into this? Do you really want them to show up inauthentically so that you can feel an emotion that you want to feel? Likely the answer is no. And there's also a difference between asking someone to do something and it not being their idea or natural default behavior, but them being happy to do it. That's one thing, versus someone doing something totally against their will. And I'll give you an example from when me and my partner went on holiday. So she loves doing water sports and she asked me if I wanted to go jet skiing and parasailing and paddleboarding with her. Now, had I been on holiday with someone who just hadn't wanted to do those things, would I have naturally suggested them and asked for us to do them? No, I probably wouldn't have done. But when she asked me, I did want to. I was happy to do that with her. It wasn't going against my preferences or desires. I wasn't people pleasing. I was like, yeah, sure, I can do that with you. It'll be fun. So maybe you have a desire for a romantic date night once a week with your partner. And maybe naturally, that isn't something that your partner would even think to arrange, something they've ever really thought about or been into. But when you ask them, when you tell them this is a desire I have, this is a want, is that something you'd want to do as well? Is that something you'd be interested in sharing with me and fulfilling? Maybe they're like, yeah, sure, I have no problem with that. That sounds fun. Let's do it. That is still a want match. Even though it wasn't their idea, even though it wasn't their natural inclination, it's still something they want, still something they want to do with you because you've asked versus something that they really don't want to be doing and they're being cajoled into doing. So after you've looked at and understood your wants and your reasons for those wants, and you've made sure that you really like the reason for wanting those things, you then want to be communicating your wants from a place of curiosity, not demanding, not telling them, I want to go on date nights, so you need to do this, or I'm going to feel bad. Again, that's a manual. That's when we're making someone responsible for how we feel. They are not responsible for how you feel. It's always your thought. You want to just be being curious about, is this a one me and this other person share? Is this something they want to do with me? So this might sound like, I would really love to travel more and spend time living abroad. Is that something that you'd like too? Or I would really like for you to come with me and see my family with me once a month. Would that be something you'd be interested in? Would you be up for doing that? And then the next thing you want to be doing is just really accepting their answer. And you can tell when someone is maybe people pleasing you and being like, yeah, sure, I can do that, when you can tell that they don't really want to be doing it. So watch out for that and make sure you ask them for that honest answer. Because let's be honest, we don't want to be people pleased. We don't want someone to be doing things that don't feel good to them. That is how we create disconnection and resentment in our relationships. We want it to be a hell yes, not a okay if I have to kind of answer. So really listen to and accept their answer. If they don't want to do that thing, if that's not a want they have, that's okay. You don't have to make that mean something terrible about them. A lot of my clients make people not wanting the same things as them mean something terrible. So one of my clients recently said to me, but if they know how important it is to me, shouldn't they just do it? If it's important to me, shouldn't they want to meet me in the middle? And I think this mindset is really common and also creates a lot of disconnection. Because although, yes, sometimes we do want to go out of our way and do things just because someone else wants us to do it, because we want to please them and that feels good to us, that's fine. Sometimes we want to do that. But we don't want to normalize people doing things that feel inauthentic, unnatural, and that go against their own desires and preferences just because it would please us. That is not what we want. This is a recipe, like I said, for disconnection and resentment. And the best relationships are where two people are being their most authentic selves and just coming together to share mutual wants and desires that they both have. So accepting where you may have differences in preferences is really important. And then you get to decide, do I want to accept this difference and keep being in the relationship and loving them for who they are? Or do I want to accept this difference and end the relationship? Is this thing so important to me that I'd want to leave and find someone else who shares this desire with me? And consider, have you cleaned up your thinking around what you make this difference in wants and preferences mean? Remember, sometimes the thing itself isn't the big deal. It's the meaning we've attached to it, which is why really doing the work on why we want this thing and making sure we like our reasons for why it's important to us is really important, because then we can feel confident in walking away if it's not a match. If we're not really sure we love our reasons for wanting the thing in the first place, if the reason feels shaky or not good, we're not going to feel confident in knowing when something is a deal breaker and when it isn't. And sometimes people are not going to want the same things as us, and that's okay. Another client of mine really values personal growth and self-development, and she gets really frustrated that her partner just isn't interested in doing any of that kind of work. She really believes that he should. And this is what we do. We think we know better. We think we know better about what they should want for their own lives than they do. And we all do this. I do it as well. But just because valuing personal development and having deep conversations and working on her mindset is important to my client doesn't mean it's something that the other person should want. And when we tell ourselves that they should be different and we try to convince them to be different to who they are, we miss out on the real them. We miss out on loving and accepting and appreciating them for exactly who they are. So for my client in this situation, the question became, What are you making it mean that he doesn't want these things? And really looking at her own emotions and thoughts around that, cleaning up the frustration she felt around that and choosing the way she wanted to think and feel on purpose, and focusing on creating the feelings and the experience that she wanted to have in the relationship regardless. That was her first job. And then she needed to decide if finding someone who shared this love for personal development was something that she really wanted, which she did eventually decide that it was, that that was a value of hers that she really wanted to go and share with the person she was in a romantic relationship with. And often we choose the path of staying in a relationship where we aren't getting what we want. We choose to bang our heads against a wall and tell ourselves the person needs to change instead of just accepting them for exactly who they are and choosing to leave. And often this is down to fear and insecurity and scarcity, the fear that there won't be anyone else out there that will want the same things as us. So challenging these limiting beliefs is so, so important. There are billions of people on the planet, and so many of them are going to share your key wants and desires. They won't follow all of your manuals. They won't do it perfectly. They will be imperfect and flawed, but you will match on the things that you've decided are most important to you. So my friends, don't try and force someone to give you more cuddles if physical affection isn't something they naturally enjoy. Stop trying to convince someone to send more regular text messages if doing so doesn't feel good to them or fun to them. Don't try and make someone want to live with you or go on holidays with you or commit more to you in a relationship if none of those things are things they truly want. Accepting the person in front of you exactly as they are is how we create the most connected relationships. Okay guys, that's all I've got for you today. And can I ask you to do something for me? Could you go ahead and give this podcast a little rating on whatever platform you're listening from? This is how I can keep reaching more people and spreading the word of this work. And then also maybe you could share it with a friend who you think would really enjoy it or who really needs to hear it. And finally, if you're listening to this and really resonating with the way I talk about relationships and mind management, then I have a freebie that I would love to offer you. It's a 25-minute video training on 5 steps for when you're spiraling. So 5 simple steps to take back control of your mind when your brain is spiraling, when your brain is on one. So if that sounds like something you desperately need, head to the show notes of this episode and I'll drop the link in there. Okay guys, have an amazing weekend and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.